Blog Talk Radio. morning, good morning, good morning. Many are celebrating Happy Father's Day today. Many are stuck in a rut because their fathers aren't here or they have bad memories about their father. I will challenge you on today to remember the ultimate Father, our Lord, our God. And when you think about him, you realize that it's not just one day, but it's every day that we who do not have our fathers here on today, we can cherish the memories that God gave us about our fathers, and we can cherish that we have God, the ultimate sovereign Father. Minister Sheila, are you able to pray for us on today for our program?
Good morning, good morning. I'm possibly like Dr. Cecilia Kaiser and everyone that's on the line that is on this blessed Father's Day that the Lord has blessed us with. To God, our Father has given us love and mercy so that we might see it, because yet I know so many is not able to be here this day. But God, I give honor to you, the Father, the head of my life, the one that is giving me life to wake us up this morning to give us another day. But I thank you for blessing Apostle Let Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Margot McCoy, Dr. Serena Wright, missionary and evangelist, Tony Montgomery and Linda Handy and Lauren Seaberry. And I thank you for all your sons and daughters, the teachers, the preachers, the deacons, the sisters, to all the ways of life, the teachers that you have here to bless us with. I bless you for my sisters, my brothers, my nieces, my nephews, my granddaughters, my granddaughters, my grandsons, my sons, my daughters, my bloodline family, and also my spiritual family. Lord, I just thank you for today, because without you, I know we wouldn't be as you bless this world, that we need to come together and to learn that we are all one, to bless this government, to restore, and to bring us together closer than we have ever been before, and to bless this law enforcement, to let them know we are all here to serve and to work together, not just one race, one color, one religion. No matter what your creed is, your religion, your sex, or whatever, we are all sons and daughters in this world that God has made for us to live in. As one, the Lord, I just want to thank you and bless you for the first father that you blessed me with, for that he have went on to be with you. But yet, when he was here, I was able to know him. I was able to be with him. I was able to see him, to be around, to teach us right and wrong, to be there when I was in need, to bless us and to help all these other men out here that's in the father state, but they're not being in the father relationship. They're just out here saying, I have kids, but yet they're not taking care of their kids. They're not spending time with their kids. They're not having life for their kids, and some that have is directing them the wrong way, because they were directed the wrong way. But Lord, I need you to touch all these fathers and to let them know that they are here to be a true father, a true dad, a true man for their sons and daughters to look up to and worship and learn from the right way, not the wrong way. But Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you for all the fathers in my bloodline and in my spiritual line. For yet you have blessed us with some true men and beauty of God. And I say thank you, thank you, and thank you, and amen. Back to you, Apostle Lex.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Minister Sheila. We're going to start off the program a little differently. And I want you to do something for me, if you would. Make sure, if you can, that there's no type of sounds or anything around you. And for a little while, it's going to appear that it's silent, but it won't be. And then I want to begin the program. So we're starting off now. This is a type of Selah. And I want, while we're doing this Selah, for you to just silently see what you hear. Okay, what I shared with you is there's different sounds that we grow up hearing. Whether it's white noise, pink noise, red noise, purple noise, gray noise, lullabies, and then the sound, that first sound that you heard, which was that sound that babies hear, fetuses hear when they're inside a mother's womb. There are sounds that we listen to when we say, we just want to hear or feel the fan that's glowing all night long. And we think we're just doing it because we're getting hot. But that fan, the sound of the fan, is permeating a noise called white noise. And yet, we have the awesome privilege of during that time to hear God. No noise in the background. No clutter, no highway noise, no motorcycle noise, no car, revving engine, but we have the ability to hear God. Sometimes there's so much stammering and there's so much noise and static going on around us that we can't hear God. He has to wait until we're asleep to bring us dreams. Well, when we're not really paying attention to what's going on, to bring us a vision. Well, while the person is sharing a message and talking to you, he takes you off to a place where he plants a thought. He plants a vision. He plants a sound. You're driving down the street and all of a sudden, whether you let your roof down, because it's very therapeutic to have that convertible that you can just let it down and you can hear the wind. And if you're driving by an ocean, you can hear the waves. Lord say, it's not even that. You're sitting at home and you hear drip, drop, drip, drop. Or you turn on the faucet and it has such a calming effect. You hear the birds chirping in the morning. It has such a calming effect. On today, I'm going to share with you what is God has given me about timing, focus, and hearing God. And so it's going to transition from where we are right now, because it's important that I hear what God is saying on today, and that you hear what God is saying on today, and that we realize that there's lots of static and there's lots of noise, and that noise is of different colors, it's with different things, but we have to know that that noise is not as important to us as hearing the voice of God. Well, it's not a noise, but it's instructions, it's a message, and most of all, it's just for you. When we talk about timing, the very definition of timing talks about choice and judgment, control, a particular period or point in time. Or if you're talking about a vehicle, it could be the timing of the valve, the timing of the ignition, the spark to the spark plugs, the movement of the pistons and the various cylinders. I'm sure Minister Sheila's boss would know all about that, because that's part of some of the things that he may have to deal with, even though he's dealing with the sounds, music, and things of that sort. Now, timing, if you look at it as an acronym, could mean the transformation in making internal needs God, or transformation into making intercession naturally your goal. So, if we're talking about timing, and we talked about the definition of it, and I shared, you know, two acronyms for it, let's also talk about a few scriptures. Genesis 8:22 says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest time, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." Proverbs 16:17 says, "When a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." Wow. The timing of the peace of God. Deuteronomy 28:2. "All these blessings come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God." The timing of the blessings of God when they come upon you and overtake you. Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things." Now let's read this other version of it. "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and we will give, and he will give you everything you need." That's the New Living Translation. You know, we oftentimes say, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But this translation actually talks about living righteously, the timing to live righteously, and God will give you everything you need. And you know what I love about him? He throws some warrants in there too. Matthew 25:13 says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the time." So you don't know the day nor the hour or the time that God is coming, or that he's going to bless you, or that he's going to do this or that. Acts 1:7 says, "He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." Isn't that amazing? Time is fixed by God. Well, let's take a little detour. I was watching this recent, this happened recently. I was watching this video. And in this video, this grandmother told her grandchild to mop the floor. The grandchild just ignored the grandmother and just kept laying down, sleeping. The grandmother called the daughter, the granddaughter's father, and said, "Why are the children nowadays so hard-headed and so stubborn? They want to do what they want to do, how they want to do it, and when they want to do it," talking about timing. And so the father goes down to the basement, and he tries to wake the daughter up and tells her, "You know, Grandma told you to mop the floor. Why haven't you mopped the floor, young lady?" The little girl acted like she was still sleeping. So the grandmother filled a bucket of water. She got a belt. And she told her son, "Carry this to the basement." So when they got to the basement, the grandmother had the son or her to pour the water on the daughter. And as the daughter jumped up, the grandmother was running behind her, whipping her with the belt. And the little girl, she outran the grandmother. But at that time, that little girl got up, and she got up when the grandmother wanted her to get up, because she used something that's called a shock and awe method to get her attention. Does God have to use a shock and awe to get our attention? Does God have to do things with our jobs, on our jobs, with our bosses, with our colleagues, with our finances, with our families, with our neighborhoods, in our neighborhoods? Does God have to do things to cause a shock and awe in our lives to get us to obey him at the time he wants us to obey him? Now let's transition to focus. I am asking God to help us, to help me, to help anyone that's listening on today and in the archives, to pay attention to what he's saying, what he's instructing us to do, and to obey him immediately. That he doesn't have to use a shock and awe to get us to obey him in the natural and in the spirit. I've been asking God, "God, help me to focus on what you are saying and what you are directing me to do." There's lots of noise all around us. The devil will bring this, he'll bring that. He'll bring that favorite TV show or soap opera or movie or family member or person to distract us when he's told us to do this or that, and he wants us to do it now. But there's a sound to what God is saying. There's a sound to his voice. We have to know who's speaking to us. I have to know who's speaking to me. I have to make sure that the person that I'm giving an ear to is not drowning out God. Whose voice do you hear? Whose voice are you obeying? When you hear God, what does it sound like? What does he sound like? Does he sound like white noise, red noise, purple noise, green noise? Or is he a still, small voice? Or does he have to speak to you loudly? Does he have to use thunder? Does he have to bring you visions of lightning? Or does he have to talk to you in dreams because you have so much going on that when you're awake, he can't get your attention? Does he have to speak to you through music, praise and worship, praise, or the words and words of knowledge or prophetic words through a prophet or a prophetess. Does he have to speak to you through miracles, signs, and wonders? What does God have to do to get your attention? Does he get to speak to you through the wind and the waves? Does he get to speak to you through the birds or the trees? Does he get to speak to you through angelic beings? How? How does God get to speak to you? How does God get you to hear him? Does he have to speak to you and you hear the voice of your grandmother or your grandfather, your mom or your dad, a sister or a brother or a child or a mentor or a colleague or a teacher? Or is there so much going on that it's not clear? When he's speaking to you, it sounds like he's stammered, he's stuttering. Is it something he has to talk to you statistically? Does he have to talk to you in numbers? Is he muffled? Does it sound like you couldn't really hear what he's saying, what you really sound? Let's talk about focusing on the sound of God. Let's talk about focusing on what God is saying to you. What is God requiring you to do so that you can focus on what he's saying and to hear him clearly? Some people, when they talk about focusing, they're talking about what your eyes are looking at. Not just your spiritual eyes, but your natural eyes. It talks about that particular point of attention. It talks about the center of your interests or activity. What are you focusing on? Who are you focusing on? Focus. Following obediently Christ until substantiation. Followers of Christ unto submission. Those are some acronyms for what focus means. Let's talk about a few scriptures. Proverbs 4 and 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Proverbs 16 and 2. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and pray, and thy thoughts shall be established. Philippians 4 and 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Yeah, we know we can obey God. We can do everything when we focus on Christ because he strengthens us. Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. When we are focused on God, he will strengthen us and he will hold us up with his right hand. Romans 13 and 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. Can you see your salvation? Can you see that it's high time to wake up? Romans 15 and 4. For whosoever things were written or foretold were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Where's your patience? Where's your comfort? Where's your hope? Ephesians 4 and 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Are we focusing on edifying one another? My. Luke 21 and 26, watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Yes, COVID is going on. There's different things going on. There's violence in the land. There's black-on-black crime. There's the wonderful recent thing that God has given us with the holiday that commemorates our true people of color and others, independence from slavery. Now, these scriptures that I'm about to share about focusing is in a whole nother level. Matthew 14:22-33. And immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. It said Jesus had all the disciples to get in the boat. Not just one or two, but all the disciples that were with him. And then it says, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land and buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the water. And when the disciples, not just a few, but the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, not the disciples, but Peter alone replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," is what Jesus said. And Peter got down out of the boat. Not the disciples, all of them, but Peter. And he walked on the water. He came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." But according to the scriptures, prior to this verse, the wind was already there. The wind was already buffeting against the boat. All of the disciples saw the wind. But yet, when they first saw Jesus, their vision was blurred, and they thought he was a ghost. My, my, my. That's another message. When Peter took his eyes and his focus off Jesus, he began to sink. And not only did he begin to sink, but he still knew to cry out to the Lord to save him. And immediately the Lord, who's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Jesus reached out with his hand and caught him. He saved him. Although he said, "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Many of us have taken our eyes off Jesus. Many of us have taken our eyes off God. Many of us, from time to time, have forgotten that we don't need to doubt. And even though Jesus says, "You are of little faith," he still knew who he needed to focus on that could deliver him. So when we waver, when we doubt, when we have questions before God, know that we can still call on him, and that when we refocus our eyes onto God, he will reach down and pick us up. And many people are watching. The other disciples were watching. They saw this. So if you're wondering why this sister or this brother isn't doing this or isn't doing that, isn't walking on water, going here or going there, they're still watching you. And they still see that your focus, although for a moment, had gotten off God and what he told you to do and how he told you to do it, you refocused your eyes in the perfect timing of God that he could immediately reach down and pick you up. And after that, when they climbed into the boat, talking about the scripture, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." We've got to know that truly God is who he said he is. Truly, Jesus is who God announced that he was. This is my son. And he's well pleased with his son because his son gave his life for each and every one of us. And so because Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for each and every one of us, we know that not only do we need to do things in the timing of God, but we have to focus on God, but we have to hear God. Some of us have been told to bless this person or that person, and we've called them up to bless them, and they were too busy to be blessed. Just work with me. I need you to hear what I'm saying. Many of us have wanted to bless someone, and it wasn't the proper timing. And so they didn't receive that blessing, or they didn't get what God had told us to give them. But it was a test of your obedience to do what he said to do, and also a test for them to know, it's not time for that. Some of us have been like, well, they're ungrateful. No, it's about the timing of God. Some people are takers, and it isn't even the time for them to take something, and they're wondering why I accepted what they wanted to give me, but God told you no. And that's why it didn't live and it didn't prosper. So we, even when it seems like someone gave us something and something went wrong with it, it could be because God said no, and you didn't know. He told them to give you $10, and you took it. No. He told you to say no. Because think of this. Either them or that same person may come when the timing of God is right, and now he's told them to give you $10,000. $100,000, $1,000,000. And not only are you out of debt, but now your family's out of debt. You may say, well, you're just talking about money. Okay, there may be a time that you don't have food to eat, and God has someone to bring you a can of potatoes. And he says, no, don't accept it, because he may want to bring you the groceries, or he may want to bring you the chain of stores that not only will feed you, but they'll feed a neighborhood. See, we're talking about the timing of God. Because if God called you to a neighborhood, if God called you to the youth, he's not going to just give you something that's going to simply bless you, but now you can bless the neighborhood and the youth. Let's talk about hearing. And the faculty of perceiving sound, that's what it is to hear. It's an opportunity for some people to go before the state so that they can, present their case. And for other people, they're no longer deaf. They can hear well. They can understand what's being said. On today, God is helping us to hear him. In those areas that we haven't been able to hear him clearly, we're going to hear him. As you'll notice, today is not a hoop, it's not a holler, it's not a get deep. It's talk to the people so that they can hear God, not me. Hearing is higher, eternal, auditory reflexes into Lisa's guidance. Higher, eternal, auditory reflexes into Nisi's guidance. Who is Nisi? Jehovah Nisi, Yahweh Nisi, the Lord our banner. It's only heard of or even spoken of in the Bible one time, and that's in Exodus 17 and 15, when Moses and the children of Israel were about to be defeated by the Amalekites, but then God caused them not to be defeated, and they built an altar and called it Jehovah Nissi. See, the background is that the Israelites had been wandering in the desert after leaving bondage. They were attacked by the Amalekites, and the battle was fierce, and Moses went to stand on the top of a mountain so that he could see everything that was going on, and he held the rod of God in his hand. And guess what? That rod of God was the same rod that he disobeyed God with and struck the rock when God told him to speak to him. But see how God can use the very thing, glory to God, that you once failed with to now cause you to triumph? Help me, God. That's a message, my God, that's a message. See, as long as this very rod that he had failed God with was now being used how God told him to use it, Israel was a winner. What is that thing that God told you to use so that you can be a winner? When your arms are getting weary, who did God assign to you to hold up your arms? One of them was Aaron. You know, Aaron was a priest. And the other was Ur. It's different stories of who Ur was. Some people say that Ur was Miriam's son. Others say that Ur was Miriam's husband. But just make sure whoever God sent you to hold your arms up, who's holding your arms up. Don't use no substitute. Don't use no stand-in. But have God given you people to hold your arms up? Well, let them. My God. And you're going to prevail. You're going to prevail in that thing that God told you that he's your banner. The cares of life, your finances, that loved one, that person that don't like you just because they don't like you, because somebody else don't like you. God is going to use you to do exactly what he told you he's going to do. The youth, the elders, the marriages, the single women, the people that have been through this and they've been through that, over here, over there, God's going to use you to do exactly what he said he would do. And he could use the very thing that you failed with before, my God. And do you know it said that while Moses' arms were being held up, that at the very same time he was interceding and praying? James 5 and 16 says, the prayers of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Can you imagine using the rod of God to cause the people assigned to you to win the victory over the things that they've been warring with? Warring with smoking, warring with drinking, warring with addictions, sexual pills, those that are prescription and those that are street drugs. Can you imagine the very black-on-black crime and the various violences God called in that area that he sent you to now calm down? Because you're going into the promised land. You're going into that place that God told you he was going to take you in ministry, in that things that he told you he was going to take you, in the people that he told you he was going to lead you to take them to this place or that place. Genesis 3, 8 and 10 says, and I heard the sound of the Lord. Another one says, and I heard the sound of the Lord in the garden. Isaiah 6 and 8 talks about, I heard the voice of the Lord sing. Exodus 19 and 9 says, and I will come in a thick cloud so that the people may hear when I speak. Deuteronomy 5 and 23 says, and you heard the voice of God in the midst of the darkness. Hebrews 7, 15 and 16 says, today, if you hear his voice,
And then 15 says, and you heard his voice. And 16 says, for who provoked him when they had heard? My God. In Hebrews 4 and 7 says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. See, not only do you have to hear him, but you can't harden your heart. 2 Peter 1 and 18 says, and we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven. Are you hearing the utterances from heaven? John 10, 7 through 10 talks about, and they all who came before me, this is Jesus talking, he lets them know they were false prophets. They were self-appointed leaders, but he lets us know that he is the door. He is the one that's leading us as his sheep, as those that follow him. And that when we follow him and we enter into that door, we know that we will live forever. For when we know that he says the thief comes only in order to steal, to kill and destroy, I have come that they may have life and enjoy life and have it in its abundance to the full till it overflows. Children, sons and daughters of God, heirs, people, cleric, intercessors of God, we must value the timing of God. We must value the things that is in his timing. We must focus on knowing his voice. We must focus on knowing his sound. We must focus on hearing him clearly. We must focus on obeying him without hesitation and doubt and murmuring and complaining. We must automatically say, yes, Lord. We must say, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't even understand it, but it's yes, Lord. We have to know that the very breath that we breathe is automatic, and we need to know that the same way we don't have struggles with our breath or did not in the past, that we are to hear and obey God just as quickly. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. That's how we have to obey God. So know the timing of God in your life, not your sister's life, not your brother's life, not your aunts, not your uncles, not your friends, but the timing of God in your life. And focus on what he's told you to do. Write the vision. Make it plain. Write it out and obey exactly what he told you to do. Every dot, every tittle. Don't leave anything out. And then hear him and obey him. This isn't time for the $10 obedience. This is time for the hundredfold obedience in intercession, in ministry, in love, in forgiveness, in every area of your life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's adding his time. He's adding his focus. And he's adding hearing and knowing his voice. So, Mr. Sheila, that's all I have. Can you close us out, please?
Thank you, Apostle Elect. Thank you for the words of encouragement and the lessons and the teachings that you have brought to us and to help us to understand better as the word goes on. I just want to say if the lines are open to anyone that have a testimony, a remark, a statement, or just something that they would like to say on behalf of the Father's Day that the Lord has blessed us to make. The lines are open.
Good morning, saints of God. I'd like to thank God for another Sunday and for another wonderful message from Apostle Lexicola. Thank you, woman of God. Thank you for letting us know. It's important that we refocus. As many times as necessary, refocus. Yes, yes. I needed that word today, and I thank you for it. I ask you to pray for me as I pray for you. God bless.
Thank you, Minister Margo McCoy, for your testimony and your words of encouragement. The lines are open. Is there anyone else? Okay, I just want to say thank you. All that is on the line that might be able to speak and might not be able to speak, but I thank you for joining us this morning on this wonderful day that God our Father has blessed us to see and to be able to live and hopefully enjoy. But just remember, no matter what we're going through, health-wise, financial-wise, within our families or just within ourselves, we need to put it into the hands of God, our Father, the mighty, awesome, only true Father that can heal and take you through no matter what. You just put it in his hands and let him handle it. No matter how long you have to wait, believe me, when he comes through with his blessing and his miracle and his joy and his love, it's going to be worth waiting for. Don't let the devil turn you against the main Father that we have that made this heaven and earth for us, that made life for us. Just remember, we have one true Father above all fathers that will never let you down, will not lead you in the wrong way, will always have the right way, the right love, and the right life for you. Just put it in God's hand and let the Father and the Son take you through the magnificent life that he has planned for you. I just want to thank all that is listening and to welcome you each and every Sunday morning with Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Brandon Kaiser, for Let's Talk at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard, 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and on Mondays, which is Blog Talk, also Facebook and Blog Talk at Iron Sharpened Iron, which is also connected in the worship and program with mighty powerful women and men with teachings and lessons of God at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I believe this Monday is Minister Margo McCoy, a great woman of God's words and teaching, to be heard on this Monday night. And on Friday, this Friday, which is 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Blog Talk and also Facebook, is Let's Talk with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright and Prophet Antoine Thomas, that they have the teaching that they'll switch over to take in case one is not available or join in to give you a magnificent lesson and teaching and love and worshiping of the Lord. I just want to say thank you all and bless you all. And to remember, God is the way and the only other way. And I just want to say, is there anything else, any statement, remarks, corrections that need to be made? Could you please do it now?
Minister Sheila, I don't have any of that that I want to do, but I want to pray for those that are on the line. I'm quick to pray for you all. Father God, I glorify you and I magnify you. We repent for sins of commission, omission, and things that you've called us to do. We thank you for causing us to refocus. We thank you for causing us to look to you, God. We thank you for using that thing that which we did not succeed in to cause great success. God, we thank you that we are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. We thank you that we're lenders and not borrowers. We thank you, God, that we are blessed in the city and blessed in the field. God, we thank you that we're doing everything that you called us to do because we've refocused on that which you've given us to focus on. We thank you for your timing. We thank you for hearing your voice and knowing your sound. We thank you that all the other things that have come into our lives have been those things that were meant to catapult us into the next level of the dimension that you have for us, God. For it wasn't a failure as much as it was a catapulting to the next level. So we thank you
We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for Minister Margo and the words that are going to come forth from out of her belly that are coming directly from heaven. God, we thank you that someone's going to be delivered. Someone's going to be set free. God, and that someone's going to praise you in a way that they've never praised you before. They're going to worship you in a way that they've never worshiped you before, God, as a result of the word that you placed in her belly. We thank you for all that you've done with Minister Sheila, that she's praying, God, that she's seeking you with all that's within her, God, and that she's going to obey you on purpose and with purpose. And that when people see her, they say, I know she loves the Lord. I know she loves God. And God, I want to serve the God of Minister Sheila. God, I thank you for all that you're doing for everyone connected to Smile 3E. Minister Sylvia, how she's hosting the programs and doing everything you called her to do. God, we thank you for Prophet Antoine. We thank you for Dr. Serena Wright. We thank you for Servant Pastor Troy. We thank you for Elder Tony and Minister her husband, Robbie. God, I'm just changing people's names. Help me in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you for even Reverend Lawrence, God, everything that you're doing for them, God. We thank you for everyone that's connected, everyone that's even in the ministries of the people of Smile 3. God, I ask you in the name of Jesus that even everyone connected to Minister Marvel's program will be catapulted into that level for which you call them to be, and that they will reach the souls. It's all about being soul winners, God. So we thank you that we are winning souls, and it's for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen and amen, and I thank you. Apostle Elect, Dr. Sherry Fizer, I thank you for that prayer, worship, and acknowledgement, and to bless us all through your words of encouragement. I just want to say, if there's anything else before we end the program, your time is now. I just want to thank God for each and every one of us and let us know that he is the one. He can bless us. And God, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you for letting us wake up to see another day, because without you, we would not be. And to remember our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Just remember, when you wake up, anytime during the day, when you woke, when you sleep, when you any present time of the day you're alive, don't forget to tell God, thank you, because without him, we would not be. Amen and amen, and have a blessed, safe day. Bye.